subject of the Ikkas HaMashiach, the specific unique tests and challenges and difficulties that we will be facing as we get closer to Mas HaMashiach. We've touched on a lot of it already. Yesterday we discussed two inyonim, and we want to deal with the third one, which is the one that's more relevant to us today. We want to discuss today. So the first nisoyin we said was the nisoyin of the Holocaust, the Shoah, where that was the Avoda, where people mamash were locked upon us. We're going to get to that. Many stories are chonen by many of the Gedol Yisrael that were martyred in the Holocaust. Some type of reich nichoyach, without getting into all the pratim, that was the first nisoyin. Second nisoyin we said was a Akamas HaMedina, the concept of having a secular Jew. It was a completely new subject. A secular Jew could be proud to be a secular Jew. It means proud to have nothing to do with Torah. That we've never seen before. Just going to tie up one loose knot from yesterday. This is not the whole subject. As I said, we have to understand the subject of nationalism at its roots. We have to see. Person wants to know what the Torah's view on anything is. It's the only place you can look at Torah sources. Go and look elsewhere to understand what the Torah says about a subject. So my sense is we need to understand nationalism. If you want to understand nationalism, the place where you have to start learning that is in the Dora Flogger. The Dora Flogger, everyone was united, and the Torah tells us that when everyone's united, then nothing stands in your way. So therefore Hashem split them into 70 nations, and today you see that it's the period amongst the nations which weakens them, and that might be very good for us, but we'll see where the Torah also says where there's positive national negative. That's all soon going to come into it. But one thing's for sure clear is no one's going off the derech today to become a Zionist. If you want to be a Zionist today, you don't have to go off the derech. You can be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs today and live in Eretz Yisrael and be committed to Eretz Yisrael. That's not a steer anymore. At a Akamas HaMedina, there was an enormous period. But learn your history, you'll see what happened just before and up to the time and after the time. A lot of what's going on in Israel today is rooted in those events, and to understand what's going on today, you need to understand that. There are wines a good resource for that. There's very good books written about that. The Kufa, to understand where the struggle between the Torah world and Zionism was, and how much of an insane it was. A lot of people left Yiddishkeit because of it, Rahman al-Tzad. Today, that's not a challenge anymore. That's not a struggle. People are leaving Yiddishkeit today for a whole bunch of more mundane reasons. It's not because of anything ideological, that's for sure. So that's what we're going to focus on now. So those are the two Nisoinas. And that's according to his opinion. He says, "Len has deity, you can accept it, you don't have to accept it." Not reading from Chumash here. So each person will do what he wants. But I'm advising you, before you start making too many judgments, learn the Sugya Prof. Tov. Right at the bottom of Kuf Men Gimel. Discussed the two Nisoinas, now the third one. The Yinei. V'doreinu aleinu lamod b'mifchan ha'acharon. Akasha mikulo. As we mentioned, usually the last examination in any series is usually the hardest. The Akedah was the hardest of the series of tests. If you study for a profession, whatever, you'll find that the last examination is usually the hardest, because it includes all the others in some aspect of it. Amifchan hu. What is the mifchan? What is this mifchan? So he says it very interesting, and we'll have to expand this and understand what this means. A mifchan hu hashmira al bechinas Yisrael. Guarding that thing called Yisrael. Let's see what that means. Gemuvu le'il lo mitchoyle leskiyot milchoma ideologit neged shomer Torah. Today there's no ideological war battle against the world of Torah. There's no ideological battle. No one's going to come and ideologically get you to throw your Shabbos and your Yiddishkeit out the window because of some ideology. What ideology is there today that competes with us? Today you can open up a yeshiva wherever you want, koilel, kimat wherever you want. There's shuls in Iran, there's a yeshiva mamash next to the Kremlin in Red Square. I mean, it's beyond comprehension. But that's the way it is. It could be the only place you might not be able to practice your Yiddish katsun is in America. That's another story. The world today is a completely different world that we've had to deal with in the last 2,000 years. Ha'olam shakur b'izbeimus b'yam shel tivus. This is a very important yesod. This nations don't get destroyed from the outside usually. They usually get destroyed from inside. They usually get destroyed because they become sick. They become a toiva. They get involved in all forms of immorality. That's what happens to nations. Rome, what happened to Rome? Rome was the most powerful nation in the world. It collapsed from inside because of the immorality. So that's what the world is today. There's one big nisayon today, and it's taiva. Amoichus and Ishim ainu menasim lepatech idiot or pitronot letikun olam. No one's out there doing too much deep thinking. These individuals, the scientists, whatever, but even there, most of that is only working and trying to develop how we can have more pleasure. Kol ha-ma-matziyeim mitrachzim l'tachlis echad. Keitzad niten l'chred bo'ifan noach v'nim bo'ilam hazeh. They're all interested in one thing. How can I live more comfortably and pleasantly and enjoyably in this world? Ha-mtzo'it ha-giyoynes. So the Rani Mitrachos B'Sheila, all the wonderful great inventions of our generation, revolve around one question. How much can I do without moving out of my seat? Okay, it's a little neichel maher b'li lavod midai kasher k'dayma. How much can I eat more? How much can I get more pleasure? It says in the Mishnah, one of the 15 simonim we mentioned yesterday in the Mishnah in Sot at the end there, Raisa, is based vad l'znus. The gathering of the wild, wise people will be for immorality, for znus, physical pleasure. You see that today? The greatest minds, the most amazing amounts of money are being spent to investigate how to make people buy your ice cream, or how to get them to buy more stuff in your store. Smells, sounds, unbelievable amounts of genius is being put into getting you to buy my product. The way the internet works, the way it tracks you, cookies, the whole unbelievable bonus. And it's not aimed at bettering society, it's aimed at just giving you more physical pleasure, that's all, for buying my product. Yeah, you have a generation that needs and wants more and more entertainment and external pleasures. Ain't Adam Kolat again? Nitain the Kaul a Kol a Magash Shokese Li Omovigir, and it's all at the flip of a button. It's all there available. You don't have to do too much work to get it. Chanashim Mitalchim Umistokim Lelo Sipu Kotomikach Hem Borchim LeYam Abidur VaTayvus Amidrodedois MiYom LeYom Ad Sho Tachtis. You don't have got no internal sipu satisfaction. And as a result of that, they go looking all over the place to fill that hole. That's causing them to feel unsatisfied and unfulfilled. And therefore, they go look in all the different places for entertainment, for pleasures, for divers, to dull the senses. They don't feel the pain anymore. Okay, fine. There's a whole shiur here. There's a whole shiur looking here, what it is, how it works. Why we have the spiritual melody and why we're looking to solve it outside our spiritual realms. That's the sugya of Yesh Monim wrote in the same. Also, that's all share on its own. Remind you on that. And Hashem Abdim Esahut Ha'atzmit Shalem Va'edim Avidim Avu Ma'ahem Chayim. People lose their inner identity, their inner self gets completely lost, and they don't even know what they're living for. Ma'achavasa Ba'alama, what are you living for? They will ask yourself that question. And have the patience to wait for an answer, it can be quite scary. That was really very nice if this stayed outside and it didn't enter into my Dalet Amos. If the Jewish camp was hermeneutically sealed against this influence, that would be wonderful, but it's not. unfortunately, it's very deeply in our will. הדרך היחידה שלנו להתמיד מול ניסיון זה היא מלחמת קודש שמטרה שלה להגביל את קדושת ורוממות ישראל. So, this influence from the outside world there has penetrated very deeply into our world. Sometimes it pretends to even be Jewish and from, sometimes it doesn't even have to do that, because you know that you're involved in something that is completely out the door, but Lechpati, my Kesha, what does Hashem care, who, why not, I'm so miserable, so I deserve it. We don't even pretend anymore that it's got anything to do with Yiddishkeit. How do you fight that? How do you fight that? So knocking it and making it bad and telling you how bad it is and how gosh it is, as long as it doesn't work anymore. It might have worked for our grandparents, but it doesn't work for us. It doesn't work for us. If you've tried it, you'll see the law is there. So what do you need to do? So he says here, it's a milchamas HaKodesh, it's a holy war. The goal is to raise one's levels of Kedusha and Romanus Yisrael. Like the goal of Chenu, Malaseinu, Mahabin, Haitiv, Ki Ein, Lainu, Kol Sheikhis, or Shutfis, in Asechi, Vamius, Shavachov, and in Asheka, Asher, Lepoilam. Is to recognize, just in very simple language, this has to be much more sophisticated, but to understand that I'm not Sheikh to this. I'm way above this. Way above this. Simple dogma. You're busy watching your kids and they're playing in the sandpit. And they're having a fight because, I don't know, Yankel destroyed the Rochel's castle, or he wanted to play with the spade and she wants the bucket, or he wants the bucket and the other one wants the spade, and the whole boom bang on there. And you're sitting outside the sandpit. And you look at this and you think to yourself, I don't know any shaykhs to this. I may have to intervene as an adult, I might have to stop the one from hitting the other one over the head, I might have to not intervene, I don't know, you'll have to make a cheshbon how you want to deal with the situation, but not as a child. You look at that and you think, I'm going to that's poshut. I don't know if there's a problem with that. You recognize that the fight going on in the sandpit isn't anything to do with you, other than as a responsibility. Well, you have to see whether you want to take the gun away from the kid or whatever. That's a technical problem. But in essence, you know that fight, that cultural dispute that's taking place in the sandpit is way below your level. You're an adult and a 6-year-old. The same here. When a person realizes who he is, when he understands what he is, when he understands what his mission is connected to, really, really is, so then he's not attracted by any of that stuff. Not because he's not attracted, but that's just, it's not shaykh. It's a little kashura. What's this going to do with me? Why is this shaykh to me? It means if it is shaykh to you, and we are interested in it, we have to get in touch with what we think about ourselves. Who am I really? Which is what we spend a lot of time learning about. Yeah, you have to go back and chazer it and get into it and internalize that. Whew, what a work to learn. Bolem Acheres. Into our language a little bit. Metein Leimek, can you say in the rain, Mitnahel Oides HaAmud HaShlishi, Shil Amud HaChesed. As I mentioned yesterday, the three Amudim that it stands on. Avoid the Tayyum Gmilas Chesadim. And not necessarily in that order, but that's the order we're dealing with it now. So we dealt with the Avodah, that was the Holocaust. We dealt with the Torah, that was the Hakamas HaMedina and the war against Torah. And now we're dealing with Omer HaChesed. Ma ze keshut b'chesed b'sa. We're talking about Romimus. We're talking about Atavah HaTanah Mekolah Omer. We're understanding B'nei B'chayr Yisrael, B'shvili B'roilam. Understanding who I am and how Choshev who I am. That I'm the integral part of the bridge. That without me, the bridge just doesn't get finished. Without me, Hashem's job, what Hashem created the world for, will never ever happen if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. The whole world can do what it's supposed to do, but if I don't, the Sefer Torah is possible. We mentioned that if one piece from the Sefer Torah is missing or incomplete or not in the right place, the whole Sefer Torah is possible. And I'm an ace in the Sefer Torah, so the whole Sefer Torah can be the most mahuda Sefer Torah you've ever had. Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote it. But if your ace isn't there, also the whole Sefer Torah is possible. It means, he has a hoshiv you are. He has a incredibly indispensable you are in this picture.
1-5.
Yeah, sorry, what, somebody said something?
Yeah, if so many people aren't doing what they're supposed to do, then how's the world going to reach its tachlis?
So, I can answer your question a couple of ways. First of all, I don't know if people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, because I don't know what anyone else is supposed to be doing. That's between between them and Hashem. Second of all, that's Hashem's problem, not my problem. My problem is to do what I'm supposed to do. I have to give din v'cheshbon that I do what I was supposed to do, that I do everything I'm supposed to do. What everybody else is doing is irrelevant, because that's also, if you go back to the Ein Od Milvadoi, it's also all Hashem. Your next door neighbor is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. That's not your next door neighbor, that's Hashem. And it's a test for you. How are you going to deal with this? Everything in the world is Hashem. Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz mi'yirushamayim. Everything is Hashem except your Bechira. So everything that's outside of your realm of Bechira, that is Hashem. So all the people out there, the millions of people and whatever, who we think aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, that's also just Hashem. That's my Nisayim. Now, I have choices to make when I look and I accept that reality. What am I going to do? Is my Nisayim enough to go to my next door neighbor and invite him for Shabbos? Whether I can teach him? Is my Nisayim to pack up my bags and leave because you shouldn't live next to a Rasha? Now, all questions that you have to decide what you're going to do. But what he's doing, Mamani and Timothy, he's a chef. That's what it means, Ein Od Milvadoi. That's what you say, Shema, every day, that's what you say.
But on the other hand, we also have the thing of Kol HaYehudim HaRevim Yetzeh Al-Tzeh.
That's what I said. Once you recognize that, now you have choices to make. Vada, Kol Yisrael HaRevim Yetzeh, what does that mean? When am I parted from that? When am I chayv l'chinami? That's what I said, you have choices. But first you have to accept reality. You can't make choices until you accept the reality. Reality is there's me and Hashem in the world. That's it, nothing else. Now, how does Hashem want me to deal with this situation? There's a whole Shulchan Aruch now. Fine, so go in Shulchan Aruch and then learn how to plot and have a robe and ask Shalas. What do you do once you've accepted reality? He's asking about how to accept reality.
No, I just don't understand.
First of all, I don't know if he's not fulfilling his tachlis in the world, because I know his tachlis is. Perfectly. His tachlis may be, okay, to not be doing what he's supposed to be doing and being very matzliach. That may be his tachlis in the world, to be a shliach of the sotan, to mabalbel me. And he may be feeling his tachlis perfectly.
But everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing, whether they decide to or not.
Or what?
So if person A actively thinks, I'm not going to do what Hashem wants me to do, certain person, now the Rav looks at this person, this is just part of Hashem, so the world's still going to reach its tachlis. So the world is still going to reach its tachlis. But that person's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, actively, he doesn't want it. So there's a world that doesn't
really matter. He's not my problem, once again.
Yeah, but his problem, so the world is still going to reach its tachlis, whether you decide as an individual, you decide, I'm going to do what I need to do,
No, you're missing something here. You're missing something here very big. Slowly, what you just said is not correct. If he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, the world will not reach its tachlis. So how's the world going to reach its tachlis if you don't do what you're supposed to do? You'll do what you're supposed to do. In the end, you'll do what you're supposed to do. You can do it nicely, you can do it pleasantly, willingly, and get the schar for it, and deal with it. Or you can do it in other ways. But Hashem has a lot of ways to get you to do what you're supposed to be doing in the world. Don't worry. Hashem started this business, he's going to matzliach, he's not going to go bankrupt. How's it going to happen? We don't know how it's going to happen. That's Hashem's problem. My problem is I have to do what I have to do. I have to only answer one question. That I do everything I was supposed to do. That's the only question I have to answer. These other philosophical questions about how's Hashem going to bring the world to its tachlis and what happens, he does it and I do and what. Because all it does is it removes the responsibility for me. Well, if Yankel's not doing what he's supposed to be doing anyway, the Sabbath is going to be possible. So then I'll also be possible. No, I can't go there, because I don't have to answer that question. I have to answer my question. Would you do everything you could do to fulfill your purpose? Like I said, could be this guy's purpose in the world is to get wiped out and obliterated and have no zeichel of him anymore. I don't know what his tachlis is. I don't know where he fits in. Maybe he was never intended to be an oyster in the Sefer Torah in the first place. I don't know. Maybe he'll do tshuva in 1 second. Maybe he'll do tshuva in 1 second. Maybe he'll do tshuva and he'll be looking ahead of him and he'll get cleaned out there and then he'll get to...
שלום לכולם וברוכים הבאים לאתר סיני. באתר סיני תוכלו ללמוד את הדף היומי ב-10 דקות בלבד.
Philosophical discussions the best video. You want to get into the Lombus and you want to learn the Rambam and you want to get into Gewaltig. I don't mind. But Lamaisa, practically, Alocha Lamaisa, it doesn't help me, it doesn't do anything for me, and to me it's irrelevant. Except for what Shimon asked. I may have an obligation to this guy to try and, you know, the paradigm, convince him, that's another story, but that'll be because of my chiyuv, not because of him. hope that's helpful. If not, I don't know what else to tell you. It's never my problem. A Rebbe in Israel, a Rebbe in Zezeb, it's another subject. You have to understand how that works. Where does a Rebbe fit? Doesn't it fit? It's a whole sugya. Very scary sugya, by the way. A Rebbe is a terrifying sugya. So there's a question here. Just one second. I want to get it up again here. It's an important question. Important question here. I just want to read it to the guys just to disappear. Okay. But that takes off a lot of pressure. I can't mess things up, so why should I care so much? Because you can mess things up. You can mess things up terribly. You can mess terribly. You can mess things up terribly. Since Kol Yisrael arriving ZMZ, since Kol Yisrael is one entity, yeah, if you chop off your right hand, the left hand doesn't say Machpati. It's the right hand. I'm a left hand. I don't care. Your head doesn't say, what do I need a hand for? It's a little money. If you've got an ingrown toenail in your baby toenail, the little most insignificant lowest part of your body, okay? And you have an ingrown toenail, don't tell me the rest of the body is not dysfunctional for the day. You can't think, you can't concentrate, the whole goof's in pain. You're one entity. So if you mess up here, you are messing up for everybody. But once again, that's not the point. The point of the matter is that I have to take responsibility for myself. If taking responsibility for myself means I also have to make of the next door neighbor, so that's also what I have to do. There's a Shulchan Aruch here. But in the Kabbot, where I have my Chayde Yichud and my personal relationship with Hashem, that's irrelevant. If I know when you step out of Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim, you step into Kabbalah Samach Mitzvahs, then that all becomes relevant. If I know, I'm not saying not. The Achrayus that we have for each other, for sure. But at the end of the day, Hashem's going to get you there whether you like it or not. It's Mefurash Apostle. What I'm saying is not philosophy. Hashem says, I'm putting before you blessing and curse, life and death. Choose life. There's a choice there. I'm asking a serious question. Hashem says, I'm putting before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. Why do you have to tell me to choose life? There's a choice here. By the way, that's where we learn our Bechira from. The Bechat, the Bechan, you see your Bechira. Where's their Bechira? If I come to you and I tell you, he has $1 million or 50 years of extreme pain and torture, please choose the $1 million. What's going on here? So the Gedolim explain. There's a real choice there. There's a real choice. Simcha Wasserman, I heard Hashem, Simcha Wasserman, Zatzal. You have a real choice. The Torah is telling you, you have a choice. I'm putting in front of you life and death, blessing and curse. Either of those paths are going to get you where you want to go, where you need to go. I'm asking you, Hashem says, please choose life. I want you to go the nice way. I want you to go the pleasant way. But if you don't and you choose to go the other way, I'll manipulate things and work things out. You'll get to where you're supposed to go at the end of the day. You can fly first class. You can fly first class, or you can be in the baggage compartment. But the plane's going to go where it's going, whether you like it or not. But the question is, how are you going to get there? You're going to get there pleasantly, or you're going to get there terrifying. Those are the choices that Klal Yisrael has already had as a Klal and as a Prat. And both those have to be understood. Right now, when you're dealing with Kabbalah or Malchus Shemayim, which is what we're dealing with, the Pasha of Shema is in the singular there, not in the plural. Not in the plural, it's in the singular. You know why? Because it's talking about you. When the Maseilas Yisrael says, Ma Chavasa Balamai, that's the beginning of everything. So there it's in the singular. Ma Chavako Balamo. That's your chiyuv in your world. You have your own private little world where you and Hashem live in a chayrik with the Lord. Sometimes you have to step out of that world and step into the world with the bodies of mitzvahs in a chinam. We're not dealing with that. Forget them. It's Chavoinesh. That's a big sugya. We have to deal with that as well. Chinam. But we're not dealing with that now. So once again, what the next guy is doing, Loman Yenoti, first I have to check myself and make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But otherwise it's a Yetzer Hara. That's one of the ways we let ourselves off the hook. Yeah, well anyway, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. Anyway, it's not going to work. Anyway, da 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 da. Therefore, I'm also off the hook. No. We should leave it for a while. Could we wake up tomorrow morning like Noach Tzadik woke up and there was no one else in the world anyway, so now who are you going to blame? Adam Rishon also didn't have anyone to blame. Adam Rishon was Yachid. To teach us that we also Yachidim. You have to know, you could wake up tomorrow morning and you're the only person left in the world. And now what are you going to do? Nothing different to what I'm doing now, because right now I'm the only person in the world anyway. Not egotistically, not as a Allah Fati what's going on, I don't care what anyone. No! In the world of Einod and Avodah, it's me and Hashem. And now you have a book of rules of how you live in a world that is you and Hashem. And those are difficult challenges. Well, big sukkahs have come up now. What about the Tochen and Yishtadlis? We're going to deal with them, Mitzvah Hashem, in the next chelik of the Sefer. Where does Tefillah fit into all of this? Where is all the banana of Chaveiros? There's a whole, many, many difficulties we're going to have to deal with as we go forward in this subject. But it doesn't take away from the fact that there's a thing called Einam Vodai. Same way that we know we have Bechira and we know that Hashem knows everything. So it's a big dilemma. How do you live with that stira? You live with it because it's a stira, because you can't understand. We don't understand what infinite foreknowledge means. We don't know what Bechira is really. You live with it, knowing that it's a stira. So the same year you have the stira. But at the end of the day, I'm telling you now, remember this, learn it off by heart, and remember it. The only thing that you're going to have to deal with Cheshbon is that you do whatever you were supposed to do. That's it. Nothing else. More than that, you don't have to do anything above what you did, what you were supposed to do. That's already, that's honest. You know, you don't have to do more than you're supposed to do. So be careful not to allow the fascinating philosophical discussion about how this works to interfere with your avodas Hashem, because it can interfere. Once you've mastered the Nefesh HaChayim, you'll see all these questions go away. You'll see, once you go through the Nefesh HaChayim, you understand what Tzelem Elokim really is, and how it works, and you understand that Sugya properly. I haven't been zoifed to do it. I'm still learning Nefesh HaChayim 20 years later, trying to understand what he's talking about. Each time I learn it, I get more information, more insights. But there's a deep sense when you're learning it, that if you would understand all of that, like the Chaim Volozhin understood all of that, then all of these questions would melt away, they become irrelevant. Because you understand how the system's put together. You understand the duke, how what you're doing and how he's doing and how it does and which buttons it pushes, and it's like a technical diagram of how the world's put together. So yeah, a lot of those questions would go away, and that's what we're trying to deal with. Mitzvah Hashem will deal with a lot of these questions in the next chelik when we deal with the Mugan and Betochen. Because that's where the real challenge is grappling with the Sugya Betochen. It's a massive, difficult, unbelievable piece of work, especially when you have this thing called Ishtadlis. If there was no Ishtadlis, then the Tochen would be easy. Ishtadlis is what gets in the way and messes our heads with the Tochen. So the same here. The fact that the next door neighbor is not doing what he's supposed to do, not for sure left, what's it going to do with you? None of your business. None of your business. Hashem says, please, I'm asking you to choose life. We don't know, by the way, why he prefers it that way. What does Hashem care if I get there one way or another? Calls man, I get there, what's the problem? No, he really wants us to go the nice way. That's why he's asking us, please go the nice way. He doesn't want to. It's like a father. Father knows that his kid's going to get to where he's going to get. He's going to pass his examinations at the end of the year, one way or another. Father's not going to let the kid fail. He's using that as a crude marshal. So the father would much prefer that the kid takes it upon himself and decides, hey, you know what, I'm going to make the effort, I'm going to learn, I'm going to pass. Father would much prefer that. But the father knows that the kid doesn't do that, so he's going to beat him through the examinations. He'd prefer not to do that, but he knows that what's best for the kid is to get through these examinations. So he's going to do whatever he can. He'll bribe him, he'll cajole him, he'll abuse him. I don't know, he'll do whatever he has to do, because that's what's best for the kid. So it's the same thing here. Hashem would rather that we fly first class. Okay, there's so much here. These are all massive, massive sugars. We don't have enough time to do them properly. So when we do them properly, we get little bits and pieces, then we get confused. Each subject has to be taken, understood, down to its first principles. Once you do that, there's no confusion anymore. Okay, fine. So I don't know if we're on the safe anymore, but it is 10:15, so maybe let's stop there. And we'll carry on tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Whatever, okay, I think we're up to you. If there's anything to say after what I said, questions, comments, we can deal with it. I'd love to have some feedback, but I'm just trying to see what we got up to here. Yeah, I'm really macheris. Okay, we'll start from there tomorrow. That's a shame. Stunned silence. Okay, great.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Call
2. Rocky, I solved the mystery. It wasn't you. It was another Rocky. I didn't know you had a nickname, Rocky, and I haven't been in touch with you for a long time. So.
Very good. Rabbi, before I'd be looking.